You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, as we open our prayer time, prayer meeting, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. And understanding it is the day after Christmas, so we want to try to capitalize on that. And what do you do in the days after Christmas? What do you do? Now, so therefore, the Gospel of John, just refreshing our memory. If we can, remember now, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Therefore, God, what did you do? You chose to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and that required what? It required, verse 14, the Word was made, became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so, Lord, you just came without any question. Calendar was changed from B.C. to A.D. and all of that. So we have no question of the birth and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ involved His God giving His Son. It isn't us giving to God. It's God giving to us, making something possible for us, not to have Christmas presents. It wasn't about that. No, it was something far more awesome and wonderful. Now, in getting a handle on that, if you would, go over with me to verse 12, which you know. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power, right, authority, to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in His name. So, God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in order that we might be able to receive Him. Now, you can't receive the infinite, invisible, endless God. It wouldn't make sense. We're trying to grapple with that, and we couldn't even come to grips with it, even when we truly began to think about it. God is beyond all of the galaxies in every direction. Wow. God, you did something so that we could understand a relationship, to be able to receive Him. Now, having said that, sliding over to verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the inside, of the Father, He hath declared, explained, made Him known. Now, so God, you're going to make yourself known in the Word becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ in order that we could have a relationship. Verse 16. And of His, remember now, go back up to verse 14. And you'll notice the end of verse 14, Father, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Sliding down now to verse 16. Of His fullness have all we received. There's your same verb as you have in verse 12. As many as received Him. Well, when we receive Him as our Savior, God, who do we receive? The Lord Jesus Christ. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God in the flesh, the Word becoming flesh. He is full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of His fullness. How can you receive Him as your Savior if you don't receive, when you receive Him, you don't receive part of Him or a little. You receive His wonderful person. Of His fullness, verse 16, have all we received, and grace for grace. So remember the little grace, little word grace for grace, little word F-O-R. Just think of the waves of the ocean in place of in place of each thing. Come, each grace in place of grace, in place of grace, in place of grace. Endless. Why? Because where is it coming from? It's coming from Him, in whom is all the fullness of God. So Christ in you, as I say, if you received Him as your Savior, it's going to just, what is He going to do? He's going to bring God, a relationship to God, in a wonderful way as a child of God, a son of God, and to bring all of the benefits of that fullness. And it's endless. Endless. Grace upon grace. What do you mean? God giving of Himself in the person of Jesus Christ endlessly. Now, having said that a little bit, I need that. I don't want to, if I lose all this, then I'm bumping along in life. And I don't connect. I'm supposed to be a believer. I'm supposed to know. I'm supposed to have the benefits. But I'm sort of stupid about the whole thing. Now, over if you would to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, may I go to chapter 9. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. And may I go to the end of verse chapter 9, which you know, you even sing it, you think about it. And verse 15, thanks, it's the word grace, thank you, grace. What do we do with grace? We look to God, thank God for His grace. Thank. Grace, thank you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable words cannot be told. There's no way to explain it. It's indescribable, inexpressible, too awesome, too overwhelming. What is? God's gift. As many as received Him is so overwhelming. There are no words. The only word you have is the beginning of verse 15. Thank you. All the rest of it is His ways and His thoughts are higher than the heavens, Isaiah 55. Well, the whole thing that God is doing, which that's why people don't, Christians, quote unquote, don't believe practically. They don't do it. Why not? Because it's impossible. And the world couldn't even conceive. And God said, they're all right. It's unspeakable. What I have done is beyond any human comprehension, explanation. There are no words except thank you. That's all you can do. Thank you. Now hang on. Now, while you're in chapter 9, go to verse 8. And we'll look at our little word grace again. Chapter 9 and verse 8. God is able to make all grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. Verse 16. God is able to make all grace abound in your direction. That reason, purpose, you always having all sufficiency, always enough in all things, sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. You're going to abound in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. You're going to abound in every good work. So God, you have a wonderful plan. Now, hanging on to that thought, in God's wonderful, wonderful, awesome plan. Now, God had a wonderful plan for Noah, and Noah walked with God. The rest of the world literally did not, except for his three sons and their wives. No one. They just didn't do it. But God, you were there. And we've done all of those things. Now, having said that, over to Genesis chapter 15. And I would remind us, remember Abraham went and delivered his son Lot and wouldn't take anything from the king of Sodom, whom he rescued by rescuing Lot. He didn't take anything. He wouldn't even take, you know, chapter 14. He wouldn't even take a shoelace for his sandal. He wouldn't even take a shoelace from him. Now, because that's how Abraham and his 318 or whatever it was men conquered those five kings. There's no way to do this. That God does it. That's the whole. When God does it, it does it. Now, so therefore, God, here's Abraham doing what he does. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, after Abraham did this, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, you could have had riches untold, because the king of Sodom and the others, they would have had all of the bounty. You'd have to have a long train of trailer trucks to get all the stuff. Wow. But he didn't. And God said, listen, I want you to know, Abraham, that I am better than all the wealth and all everything in forever. I am your exceeding great reward. I am. Person. God. The word become flesh. Uh-huh. Now, chapter 17. And you would recall, chapter 17, again to Abraham. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Walk before me in my presence, and be thou perfect, complete, whole. I want all of you. I want to be able to look and see you coming in my direction. I want you to be coming in my direction. I don't want you drifting to the left or drifting to the right. I want your whole heart. Seek me with all your heart in coming in my direction. That's what I want. I'm your exceeding great reward. Coming in God's direction. Now, having said that little bit, and therefore, God, you wanted all of Abraham, and Abraham was going to have all of you. Over to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And picking up, if I may. And, verse 37. Remember, this is the assignment, is Israel's special assignment to be a nation to show all the nations of the world about God. Now, chapter 4, picking up if I can, verse 37. And because he loved thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, therefore he chose their seed, Moses and all thereafter, after them. And in you had a wonderful plan, Abraham. Was going to have a wonderful seed, Israel. Israel's going to enjoy a piece of property that God has set apart in Palestine. Verse 37. And he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. So he brought them out. Now, why does God save them? Why does God save you? Verse 38. And to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Now God, you took them out of Egypt, and you brought them out of Egypt to Sinai, and you brought them into the land. That's what you did, to have that whole huge property from the Mediterranean all the way over to the Euphrates River. Wow.
Wow.
And you did that. That's right. God said, listen, what I did, I had more in mind than what I was doing. What I did was to make something else happen. I was born in Bethlehem of Judea to make something else happen. You were born physically to make something else happen. It's just the starting point. Always the starting point. God has something in mind, if anyone would pursue it. Now, having said that little bit, and while you're here in Deuteronomy, just to pick up the flavor of it, chapter 6. Deuteronomy in chapter 6. And, picking up in verse 10, you'll get the flavor of it. And it shall be, 6:10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, we just read that, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells already digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and are full, all kinds of super benefits. Verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now God brought them out to bring them in. God had a wonderful plan. Now, he doesn't want Israel to miss that plan. So therefore, here's Deuteronomy just before they cross the Jordan River. Now, over to chapter 8. And God always moving for his wonderful purpose to be fulfilled. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove, put thee to the test, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, etc., etc., etc. All those wonderful things. Verse 7. And the Lord thy God, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, and fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. And other. Think of the desert, 40 years in the desert, there isn't any, except what God does. Where they're going, there's water everywhere that you need it. Wow. Wow. And keeping that in mind, and a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, etc., etc. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass, etc., etc. And it's all God awesome. Verse 20, and if you read it, I don't have time to read it. Let me go back to verse 15. I'll just read the sentence. Who led thee through, God, you did. You had a wonderful plan and purpose to bring them out, to bring them in, and you brought them through whatever to get them to where you wanted them to go. He led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, etc. Verse 17, thou say, having all of these good things, in the verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth, all of these good things. Wow, they're mine. We forgot why we got them, why we have them. Therefore, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power, authority, might, to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as it is this day. Now, God, why are you doing this? If Israel, it isn't because of their trying to claim everything and have it. No, it wasn't that. God was giving them all this, and they had to understand why they had it. As they went down the corridor of time Do you know why you have all you have? Do you know why things are happening and how they're happening? Do you know why? And they forget all about God, all about Him. Now, and therefore, verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Now, and you're going to be taken out of the nation and go into captivity. Now, so God, here you are, and you brought them out to bring them in, and in the process, here we are. So here's our Christmas coming along, and we have, and in some, depending on everything, you may have got some kind of something, whatever you want it to be, and you either opened it or you didn't. Saved it for next Christmas. Or you opened it and you are using it. Or you opened it and you aren't using it. Those are things that we get. Now, so here we are looking at having and not having, opening and unopening, and unusing. That's what we do. And it's the day after, and it's all over. And you put the little pile, like, say you got four boxes of Cheerios. Merry Christmas. And you put the four boxes of Cheerios over here, and you have them, and you go to work, and you go to school, and you do everything, and there's the Cheerios. There they are. And there they are. And you weren't particularly wanting Cheerios, so they're there, and next month they're still there. There's the Cheerios. Wow. We do that. Gifts. Open, unopen. We use them or don't use them. Have them or don't have them, you see. Wow. Now, if you have that little bit in your head, and you either were thankful for what? The Cheerios. Thankful for the Cheerios. Or you weren't thankful. You just took it in and put them down there. Wow. No thanks. They just happen, right? Candy bags just come out of the air, right? That's what they do. And they will. That's if the Lord tarries and we live. Now, have that in mind. Now, here we are going, and here we are looking, and we have thanks, or we didn't have thanks. Now, but my point, here we are, we all have to go ultimately back to work and school, and we do the dishes and all the business of ordinary living, ordinary daily living, just living. That's what we're going to do. Now, but Christmas is all over, and our Cheerios, our gifts, here they are, there, and we got all of them, and we move right along. So it really wasn't about getting Cheerios. We made a big deal about it, you know. And the Cheerios came in five different wrappings. So, I mean, by the time you got to them. So, wow, big deal. But it isn't really a big deal. Because right now, it doesn't make any difference. It's all over, isn't it? Most of you. Christmas is finished. Now, what are we doing? We're the ordinary. Ah, God, you did something wonderful for us. You did. What did you do? You died on the cross and made it possible for us humans to have. Noah had it, Abraham had it, Moses had it, etc. And here we are on this side of the cross. And we have able to have, to receive you as our Lord and Savior, to receive grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, which is nothing less than the exercise of our relationship to you. And the grace of God makes something possible. It isn't loading us with Cheerios. You may have Cheerios, but that isn't what it's about. No, it's about being able to have a gift. God is the gift. And the gift is what? Called the life. L-I-F-E. The gift of life. You don't have it. All you have is human existence until you come to know the Lord as your Savior. And then, the gift of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. For what? For what? To have the Cheerios? No, no, no. And that's where we lose. Because it's now the gift that we will be mindful of on the Christmas day and all of that season is what? That God has made it possible for us to have a unique relationship to who He is and to live, to have an ordinary, awesome life, an ordinary life lived in an extraordinary way. And that's something else. That's the gift. That's what it's about. Now, hang on. Having said that a little bit, or if you would please, what we have and don't have and why we have it, God, over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. May I remind you, of it, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you have a unique, you receive Him into your heart and life as your Lord and Savior. That's what you do. And you have a unique relationship to Him. That's what it's all about. God made that possible by way of the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying so that He could come into our humanity by way, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, He can come into our life. Now, chapter 13, the wonderful things, verse 5, let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. Don't get all caught up in everything. Be content with such things as you have. Why is that? Well, I only got 4 boxes of Cheerios. Someone else got something else, you know. Wow. We used to do that. I hate taking even a minute to tell you. When I used to have Christmas, Jeanette and I, Christmas went bye-bye 100 years ago, and you know, she don't care if I buy her Cheerios. You understand? She wants Cheerios, she goes and gets them. She don't ask me for Cheerios. She just does it. Now, but my point, we used to get for the troops or whatever. And what we did, we get boxes of cereal because they didn't want to eat healthy cereals. So you got the Captain something, Nemo's something, you know, and whatever they are. And you got, so we got 4 different boxes, you know, the sweet, the candy. So I got them. And then they fight over them, see, because we only had 4 different boxes. And who's going to get which box, you see? Wow. It isn't about that. No, not at all. Not at all. Be content with such things as you have. Now, watch. I will never leave thee. Never. Remember, there's 5 negatives in the Greek. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Ever, 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 ever. Remember the little word forsake? It's the word our Lord used on Calvary's cross when He began the 3 hours of darkness and separation from God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the word. Because. So what? Then we never get forsaken. Now, hang on. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So then we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. So we can also have a wonderful, unique relationship to God. And He's never going to leave us. Hang on. That's important. Many as receive Him as your Savior, and God's going to provide in your heart, His wonderful person in Christ is going to provide for you an endless, 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 endless supply of grace. For what? To be able to live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. To be able to go back to work, back to school, to the hard things, the easy things, all different things. We go back to living our daily lives, boring as some of them may be, whatever they are, we can do them. God, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's what Christmas is about. That God has provided a wonderful way for the human heart to be able to enjoy God, a relationship to God called eternal life, and to outwork that relationship in an awesome way. That's what Christmas is. Well, now, over if you would please. And God, are you ever going to, I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. Good. Over to Romans 8. And in Romans chapter 8. God, we're going to always be in your presence, and in the presence of you are. And in Romans 8, you recall verse 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Nope. So what does that mean? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I want you to know, in the verse 35, I want you to know that nothing can separate us. That's a love relationship. Now, we don't, that's not our human L-O-V-E. No, we're going to get God. It's like talking about fathers. And you want to talk about fathers, us humans. But when you go to God, that's the Father. That's the Father. I have to keep adjusting because we tend to bring God down to our view of what a word means. You can't do that. So God, here you are, love. Yeah, God said, nothing's going to separate you from the love that I have for you. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake thee. Now, so what are you giving me for Christmas? I'm giving you myself forever to get down the corridor of time. That's what it's about. It isn't about having a Christmas Cheerios or something. It isn't about that. That may exist, but that isn't what it's about. No. Now, so therefore, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. God, why are you doing that? We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, God, why do you let us? Why couldn't we just be super-duper giants and overcoming like Samson and everything and win? No, I don't want that. The world system has rejected me, and I want to show them my saving grace. I want to save a sinner. All of them are sinners. All of them are dead in sin. And I'm going to show you a sinner saved by grace to all those sinners. You're just nobody. Aha. An earthen vessel. That's right. That I'm going to save to the uttermost. Hang on now. And in the process, verse 37. That's why we're sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, famine, distress, persecution. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So God, you have made us more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Wow. And, for I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, which is in Christ Jesus, that's located there, so you don't have to say, well, I'm not that, I was bad, God isn't going to love me, no one else loves me, and God isn't loving us for you or me. He's loving us because of his Son in you. That's why he loves you. That's why it doesn't end. That's why it can never be separated. That's why. Well, we're looking to be, God said, listen, you understand? You are living. I am living in you. I am living in you to be God Almighty. I am your exceeding great reward. I want you to walk before me and be thou complete, whole, perfect. That's what I want. I saved you in order to have a wonderful life, to live a wonderful life in an ordinary way. Now, God, we appreciate the, and it's good, isn't always to say, let's say it a different way, isn't it good to have enough? Isn't it? You go to McDonald's and you want to get a hamburger or something. Isn't it good to have enough in your, people don't use it many, called dollars. You remember them? Dollar bills, coins. And you want to have enough to be able to pay for it. Yeah, that's what you want. Have enough. Now God, here we are going down the corridor of time. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we received him as our Lord and Savior. God, here we are after Christmas. Christmas is all gone. We're going down the corridor as we normally do. That's what it's all about anyway. So as we go down, isn't it good to have enough? Hang on to that. Not only is it good to have enough, but when we get on the corridor of time, isn't it good to be able to be clean? Now, hang on. Every half a year or so, it's good to take a bath or get a shower. Is that all right to say that without offending anybody? You know, every 6 months, you get a shower or a bath, you know, just for the sake of it, for the water department, and do it now. And you do that. That's to be clean. It's good to be clean. Get all mud and dirty. It's good to be able to get it clean. Don't you appreciate being clean? You appreciate having enough. You appreciate being clean. And you do. You do. Anyhow, and here we are looking about that. And in the process, God, you have made it wonderful for us as we walk daily life. You have made it wonderful for us physically, which is with us, everything centered in your person as you walk down the corridor of time. And God, everything's there, and you have gone, and it's wonderful to get rid of waste, isn't it? Physically. Get rid of waste. What happens if you didn't get rid of waste? You'd gain weight. I know. You have to get rid of waste, don't you? We lose that, don't we? Sometimes you have to have physical problems. And what you take for granted that you can do every day, when it's gone and you can't do it, do you notice it? Don't you appreciate when you can do it? Thankful that your body functions to whatever measure. Are you thankful to function? When was the last time you thanked God for your body functioning? Wow. Now, you got the waste, you got all that, and you had to have a good reason to be alive. Alive. What am I alive? To go to work, go to school? No, to whatever you're doing, to have this, to have that, to get that, to have this, whatever your dreams are, aspirations you're doing. And you do all that, and you want that, and understandably. So you have a reason, good or bad, right or wrong, you have them. And in the process, so God, here we are. We want to be, have enough. We're very thankful. We thought we're clean. We're glad we're clean. We're glad we can get rid of waste. We need to have a good reason why we breathe and get out of bed in the morning, and why we do that. So God, you have a wonderful, wonderful purpose in it all. I do. Now I want you to know, average human being, over 7 billion of them on planet Earth, they're doing what they do disconnected. They're functioning, bodies functioning, but they have no. They give Buddha a little offering, big fat Buddha, go do that. You know, but no, no. But God, what are you looking for? Well, here we are, God, and we're looking for you to do what? We're going to be thankful. God said, in everything give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, so here we are looking, and where can we go in our little time? First John. I'm just trying to get you to exercise familiar truth, the benefits of it. Here's my Cheerios again. The Cheerios in the box with all the nutrition. Nothing. You have to open the box and eat the Cheerios. But you have to do. Now God has all these promises. If you don't put them to work intelligently, what is the sense? It's like the Cheerio box that's never opened. Now, 1 John, you know it. You can quote it better than I can. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, which is what it's all about. Christ in you, with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us. Not with soap and a shower, no. Cleansing us from all the stuff inside of you. Word, thought, deed, all the junk in your old nature. And it is. Godless junk. Yep. Now, how am I going to get rid of clean? How am I going to be clean? Walk in the light. And I'll take care and clean. And as you get dirty and you can't walk, think of John 13, you can't walk on the earth without getting dirty. You can't think, you can't move, you can't breathe. Coming and going, your mind is going all the time. Your eyes are taking in thousands of images every second. You don't even know it. Your whole system is dynamic beyond understanding. God, how can we possibly keep up? You can't. You can't. I don't want to get into that. If I had to go to is it confessional? Do they still have them? You go to the confessional. Go to the confessional. And if you bring up everything. I was raised in a Catholic neighborhood, so I know all about that. I was the only Protestant in a Catholic neighborhood. And in the process, Friday night, before we could go out and shoot anybody, I'm just kidding, they had to stop and do the stuff. And I hope they get enough stuff to be able to go next week. Wow. Wow. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you. Clean. A benefit. Christ in us. The grace of God. God, am I going to have enough? My Father, your Father, without turning there, Matthew 6 and that. The Gentiles of this world are busy trying to have all of this and that. You don't have to do that. Your Heavenly Father knoweth your need before you ever start. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. If I got it, what about, do I have enough money for McDonald's? Maybe you'll have to go to Wendy's. You know, what can I tell you? Just relax. Relax. Be content, Hebrews 5:13. Be content. Learn how to rest. But I only got 4 boxes of Cheerios. So what? It isn't an issue. What's an issue is, are you enjoying being alive on planet Earth, doing the ordinary humdrum work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little, we worry, we wander, and all the other stuff. God, and here you are providing for us. Now, in the process of all of that, and you know with 1 Corinthians 10 and all 31 and all of that, whatever we do, eat or drink, whatever you do, 10:31, do it to what? To my glory. So you go to your job, your school, your dishes, your clothes, and you do what that to the glory of God. That's what it's about. Ordinary living, extraordinary way. Christmas. The days after Christmas. Christmas comes and goes. And I know some of you, people run. Jeanette showed me one of the news. They opened the store. They had a big sale, I guess. Big sale, and opened the store. And you know what? You'd think there was a fire. And wow. And aren't you glad it's all over? Aren't you relieved? Christmas is over. You're just starting to remember what it's all about. It isn't about you getting anything. It's about you enjoying God's wonderful grace as you live an ordinary life, being content with such things as you have. And you go down the corridor of time, and you do so walking in the light, being cleansed, God, and the waste. If we confess our sin, He is, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all. So boy, may have whatever problems you got. But then thank God. When it comes to that, God, thank you. Thank you. Wow.